Today we meet the member for Mayo, Rebecca Sharkey. You may have already met her before. The Centre Alliance member was first elected in 2016, defeating Jamie Briggs in a very safe Liberal seat. She's been working to support local industries, act on climate change, improve local health services and ensure integrity in Parliament. She joins me now. Hi there, Rebecca.
Good morning, Jenny. Good to be with you.
Yes, thanks for joining us. Let's start with your allegiances. You've recently said in the event of a hung parliament, your community would expect you to speak with the current government first. Our interpretation of that comment was that you'd be willing to make a deal with the coalition, but that's not quite right, I understand.
No, look, my allegiance is not to a party. My allegiance is purely every day from the moment I get up to the moment I go to sleep. My allegiance is to Mayo. I think out of respect, if there wasn't an overwhelming move to the Labor opposition, I think my community would expect me to sit down first and have a conversation with the current government. And if the tables were turned and it was a Labor government that had been in and same thing happened, I would do the same. I'm very, very clear what that conversation needs to be about. First and foremost, we need a federal ICAC. That was a 2019 promise of the government. It's one that they've recently dropped. I'm deeply concerned about the Murray-Darling Basin Plan and the commitment for 450 gigalitres to South Australia, of which only 2 gigalitres has been delivered. We need to rein in political donation law. And we need to act on climate. And that means to have some, you know, a realistic strategy where we can do meaningful things in each of our communities so that we can reduce our carbon footprint and create a whole range of new industries and new employment for the next generation. So that's just the start. There's also a national housing plan that's critical. And as you know, for many, many years, I've been a huge champion of aged care and healthcare needs in our community. So it would be a very long conversation. They're not negotiable issues. And who knows where it would go. It seems to have been an issue, whether it's me or Zali Steggall or Helen or any of the other current crossbench, it seems to be an issue that the media in particular have very much focused on, and I think that's largely because both the major parties have been rather underwhelming in what their promises are. So there's not a lot for the media to talk about, so they're talking about, you know, the potential of a hung parliament all the time. But I would be very careful and very responsible in those conversations on behalf of our community.
Right. Yes. You are in a unique position because you're an independent. Well, you're part of a very small party, but you get to set that agenda. How has that benefited you and the electorate?
Well, it's benefited us a couple of ways. I don't vote according to where my party sits. And it's surprised me over the years when I've talked to members of Labor or I've talked to members of the Liberal Party when we're voting on really important issues. And I've said, why are you voting this way? You've said to me personally, this is something you really care about. And most of the time, they have no idea what they're voting on at all. They just sit where they're told to sit by the whip. If you're in the Labor Party, you can't cross the floor because if you do that, you're expelled from the party. And in the Liberal Party, we have seen a couple of very brave people, Bridget Archer, Dave Sharma, Trent Zimmerman quite recently, have crossed the floor. But it used to be something that happened quite regularly. Parliament's gone by, but it's become quite tribal in the Parliament, whereas I just read every piece of legislation, research every piece of legislation, talk to our community about it, and then vote according to how our community feels.
I think one of the things that some of your supporters and otherwise were a little concerned about was a decision that you made with regards to higher education. Can you talk us through the choice that you made with some courses being more expensive, for example, the humanities?
Sure. Look, thanks for raising that, Jenny. I actually voted the same as Helen Haynes, the member for Indi in Victoria. And that's because, yes, some humanities subjects, not the whole course, but it depends on what people take. So if they took social work or so they took some languages, they were not more expensive. But many, many courses were much, much cheaper, and they were the ones where we need to get graduates. Nursing, teaching in particular, science degrees. We need to get more people into STEM. The reason why, and it was a really horrible, difficult decision, was regional universities were at risk of closing, many of our regional universities. We were able to get South Australia declared as a region, which means our three regional universities were able to receive growth funding. All of that had been stalled right across the nation in 2017, and it was really a slow death for our university. So I worked with our three universities and said, look, what's really important here? The other good parts to that legislation that were never talked about in the media was that there was special grant funding assistance to kids from regions to be able to get to uni, Aboriginal young people and remote young people, some enormous support to lift their attainment and actually get a foot through the door in university, rather than it just being East Coast rich kids taking up the majority of the places. And we were able to get two regional university hubs that are going through the pipeline now in our region, as well as two in other parts of South Australia. That piece of legislation was about creating a level playing field for regional kids versus inner city wealthy kids.
The member for Mayor, Rebecca Sharkey, is with me. Now, one of Labor's major platforms this election is investment in aged care. We've spoken to the Mayo candidate. She's very much in favour of investing in health and aged care. This is something that you've been looking to make happen for quite some time, some major reform in the industry, I understand.
Well, look, I don't think there's been a person in the parliament who has talked more and pushed more for change in aged care and really rattled many cages and created, I think, a few enemies among some industry types in the aged care sector. We absolutely need to see greater investment in aged care, but we need to see transparency too. And I absolutely welcome Labor's commitment with respect to registered nurses and transparency in aged care. What I'm frustrated about was on the last day of Parliament, Labor teamed up with the Liberal Party so that when the Royal Commission Bill No. 2 came down from the Senate to the House of Representatives, and it had two amendments that got up in the Senate that Labor supported. One was Rex Patrick's amendment with respect to having registered nurses on the floor by October this year. There was some leeway there for regional areas that would be struggling to find and employ a registered nurse. And the second amendment was around transparency, forcing aged care providers to open their books. That one was put forward by Senator Griff. The bill came down to the lower house. I knew it was on its way down. I went and visited the shadow aged care minister, Claire, and said, look, this is coming down. I think that there's some Liberal Party members that are going to cross the floor and support this. And she said that they supported those amendments. I then was racing around, finalising those conversations with some Liberal MPs. And for the first time in my 6 years of being there, rather than Labor bringing on the piece of legislation for debate, Labor allowed the bill to effectively be killed that day. We would have seen the two major changes that night they made as a platform statement with respect to aged care. We saw them, they could have happened there and then, and it wasn't covered well by the media at the time, but I was so frustrated. It was probably the most frustrated I've ever been in the parliament in 6 years, because you can't, on one hand, stand there and say that you really care about aged care, and then that bill comes down, and right there and then we could have done some meaningful change, some incredible change, and for their own political opportunism, kill the bill. And I mean, I think that's why it's good to have someone in the parliament who's there on behalf of their community, who sits on the crossbench, who can call out when both of them do the wrong thing in the parliament, when they both gang together to change political donation law because it's too difficult with state legislation in many parts of Australia to get money from developers. So they change the federal laws and make it easier for themselves. You know, many times like that, I just look at it and think, this is just two wings on the same bird. And I was really frustrated. It's going to take me some time to get over that because, well, I welcome Labor's proposal. They're talking about 23, 24 as the years before they make those changes.
And just lastly and briefly, if possible, Rebecca, I know this is a difficult one to summarise briefly, but what are some really proud things that you've been able to achieve for Mayo in your time?
Well, we've been able to have record funding come into our community for infrastructure, for health, for our hospitals at Victor Harbour, for Mount Barker, 6 years ago, if you went to Mount Barker at 2 a.m. with a sick child, there wasn't even a doctor to see you. Now we have an emergency department. We've had more funding go in to expand that. We've got a state commitment to have a new hospital. I want to bring forward that timeline, and that means I've got to go lobby and get some federal money for that. I want to push for palliative care down on the South Coast, critically needed. We now have renal dialysis in our community. Up in Mount Barker, if you need an MRI, it's affordable now because it's the Medicare rebatable MRI. We've also got to replicate that on the South Coast. Right across our community, whether it's you driving on roads, whether it's our sporting infrastructure that's been desperately needed, our community infrastructure that in many places has been falling down, we've been able to change so much because we've made ourselves marginal, we've made ourselves matter, but we've got a lot more to do.
Thanks so much for your time today, Rebecca.
Good to be with you.